as we discussed previously, the Mechaber in Bo Simen Kuf Pei Gimel and the beginning of Simen Kuf Sadi tells us that in order for a woman to be Tmeya Nida Min HaTorah, she has to see Dam the Hargasha. The Mechaber in Kuf Tzadi Sif Aleph adds the following: V'im Hirgisha Sheniftach Mekaro Lahotzi Dam. So if a woman has a Hargasha, the specific Hargasha reference is the Hargasha Psichas Kriya Makor, Ubatka Acherkach V'la Masaklam, and then she performs a Bedika and doesn't find any Dam, so she had a Hargasha, the kind of Hargasha that's usually associated with Dam, but even after a Bedika she finds no Dam. Yesh mi sha'omer shehi tameya. Even though she did not see any dam, the fact that she had a hargasha renders her tameya. Who is this yesh mi sha'omer? That's the Trumas Hadeshen in Simid Resh Mem Vav. Trumas Hadeshen in Simid Resh Mem Vav writes, V'nira de isha de regisha ubaka achrikach v'loma tzasaklam. A woman has hargasha and she does a vidika right afterwards and doesn't find any dam. Yesh l'tama, we treat her as tameya. Devada yotza tipas dam kechardal v'niskaneach onimo. The fact that she had her gusha is proof positive, is a firm indication that there actually was dam. And even if she couldn't find the dam, even if she didn't see the dam, it must be that the dam somehow got wiped off, got dissolved, something happened to the dam, but there definitely was dam if she experienced a hargasha. The Hargasha Svara Daraisa. That's the Trumas Hadeshen's terminology. Hargasha is a Svara Daraisa. Hecha Deleka Lemisli Hargasha V'midi Achrini. If you have no other explanation for the Hargasha, you can't associate the Hargasha with some other reason aside from Dam Migufa, Dam in Amakor, then you have to assume that there was Dam, and even if you can't find the Dam must have been somehow dissolved, evaporated, wiped off. What's the raya? The Gemara at the beginning of Eruv Kesem. The Gemara asks in the case of the Bedigas Aid, where there may not have been Hargasha. So the Gemara asks the din that Nimsa Lachris Man Peturin Min HaKorban. If you find the Dam afterwards, Patur Min HaKorban. E the Hargasha Mai Peturin. So the Gemara says, if you're talking about a case where there was Hargasha, why are you Patur? So you see the fact that there is a Korban associated with Hargasha indicates that's a Svara Daraisa. And he compares it to the Manda Amar Vestos Daraisa, which we'll talk about later in the year. If you assume Vestos Daraisa, so Bisman a Vest, even if you do Bedik and don't find Dam, we still treat the woman as Temeya. Nevertheless, Trumas Hadeshen says that if you did a Bedika and you found a Mare Tahor, if you did a bedikah and you found lichluchis deloven aleiv, so then you have the right to say that the hargasha was associated with the other discharge, because that kind of discharge also comes min hamakor, and then the woman would be tahora. So according to the Trumas Hadeshen, if a woman experiences hargasha without a re'iyas dam, she has to do bedikah. If the bedikah turns up dam, then she's definitely tameya. If the bedika turns up nothing, she's also tameya, because you have to assume that there would have been some dam somewhere that got dissolved that you can't see but was definitely there. If, however, she does a bedika and finds a maratar, the kind of a maratar that could have come from the body also, that could have come from the makor, so then you have the right to assume that the argasha was associated with that maratar, with that loven, and the woman would be tahora. So in two of those three scenarios, if there is a hargasha below re'iya, either subsequently you do bedik and you find the dam, or you do bedik and you find nothing, then according to the Trumas Hadeshen, the woman is going to be tameya. All right. I'm sorry? Then he says he's reluctant to be make a lemaisa if you find a certain kind of a lechluchis, because maybe people aren't going to be expert enough to distinguish between different kinds of maros.
So therefore, you should put it on everything.
So as a practical matter, you should be choshesh, but the theory is that if you have a mara tahor that you find that could be attributed to the makor, then that would be tahor.
Lamaisa,
he says that even there, his lashon is he's reluctant to be meikel lamaisa.
Okay.
One second. The way some of the later posting quote the Tumas Hadesh, and they kind of de-emphasize that reluctance and are willing to be meikel in Shulchan Aruch, it just appears as lamaisa klum. So the later poskim, even if we're working off the Pesach of Shulchan Aruch, which is based on the Tumas Hadeshen, are more willing to be Mekel if you do find a Mara Torah to attribute it to. So you're correct that the Tumas Hadeshen himself says that, bottom line, he's reluctant to be Machmer even if you find a Mara Tahor, because people could get confused. That part of the Tumas Hadeshen isn't actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch as such, and therefore, to the extent that we accept the Tumas Hadeshen Lalachos, we'll discuss in a few moments, we are Mekel on where you find the Mara Tar on that subsequent Bedikah. So, correct. Yeah.
And so the Tumas Hadesh should be the same case of Oven, that should be
Tumas? Misafeg as a it's in theory, no. But then he writes, as Aaron just pointed out, Amnam Yorei Anochi Lahakel in Nimsa Ala Eid Lechluchis Desamech V'yishyesh Lo Mishom or Misostas, a little bit of Mamashas. Because people are going to get confused and they can't distinguish between different kinds of discharges.
So he makes absolutely no distinction across the board.
As a practical matter, he says practically you have to be machmir. There's a theoretical distinction. It's on an ikaridin level, he would say that if you find the maratar, you have the right to attribute it to the maratar. Because practically it's difficult to distinguish between different kinds of discharges, and you don't want to leave that up to the masses, so he's reluctant to be Mekel L'maisa himself. But again, that part of the Tumas Hadeshen isn't really reflected in Shulchan Aruch, at least not explicitly. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this as a Yesh Mishomer, even though he doesn't quote a Cholik. He doesn't quote a dissenting opinion. If you look in the Torah Hashlamim here in Sifkat Beis, Taras HaShlamim notes that even though in the Beis Yosef he doesn't quote anyone that argues, so why does the Mechaber present this as a Yesh Misha Omer? Says the Taras HaShlamim, because no one else actually says it. So he says the Derech of the Mechaber is if he quotes a position that he only found in a single Rishon, even though no one explicitly argues, because there's only one Rishon that said it Beferish, he'll quote that as a Yesh Misha Omer. Not because anyone argues per se, but because it's only attributable to a single source in Rishon. However, if you look in the Darkei Moshe, the Ramana Darkei Moshe, in Simen Kuf Pei Ches Oz Beis, in the Darkei Moshe Hakatzar, on the page of the Torah, Simen Kuf Pei Ches Oz Beis. So the Ramah quotes this Tumas Hadeshen, and he seems to be a little more skeptical. He writes, Gama Shekasav Marai, the Baal Tumas Hadeshen, and the Hargasha Daraisa, Kedamashra Paragroa Kasem, Sarachian. Dibigamar Resha Roa Kasem, Lo Ka'amar the Hargasha Daraisa, Ela Bimatsa Kasem Im Hargasha. So when does the Gemara indicate that Hargasha Daraisa, that's when you actually find the Kasem? Osha Matsa Dam Merig Layim. All the cases in the Gemara there are where you actually see Dam. Of a balaf achila mashrusham the tami, but there's no indication the Gemara is there that in the case of where there was hargasha, but there's no dam, that you would be tamei min haTorah. Gam lo reisi leecha min haposkim shakas v'letamasa bargasha below riya klal, and I didn't find in any later authority than the Tumas Hadeshen in such a position that you'd have to be metamei a woman who has hargasha below riya. The lechein dvaritz arachim. So the Gemara writes in Darkei Moshe, he quotes the Tumas Hadeshen that the Beis Yosef quoted. And he's skeptical as to whether we accept the Tumas Hadeshen lahalacha. So says the Rambam in Darkei Moshe, Simen Kuf Pei Ches. However, The Darke Moshe here is not masig on the Mechaber, on Shulchan Aruch. That's an old question. What do you do where the Darke Moshe writes one thing in the Darke Moshe, and then it's not reflected in his Hasagos, or Haros, or Hagos, rather, on the Mechaber? But bottom line, the Ramah is silent here on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah?
The Ramah says to look at Kuf Tzadik Sif Aleph when he wrote on Kuf Kechas.
Right.
So, if you understand that the Shulchan Aruch is not possible because they teach Misha Omer, then there would be no Sira in the Ramah at all.
No, but generally speaking, when the Mechaber quotes the Yesh Mishomer without a cholik, it means that he's passing it that way.
Okay, but I mean, we saw the Rebbe Avadya in his Taurus of Ais that doesn't understand that the Shulchan was passing it with Yesh Mishomer.
What did he write?
I saw it quoted after. He says, it's all quoted that said that he wasn't passing it with Yesh Mishomer. So if you understand like that, then the Rebbe Avadya would make
that would be correct, right. I don't remember seeing that Rebbe Avadya show it to me. I haven't... I haven't seen the Tara Sabayis too much this time around. So if you find it, show it to me, we could look later. Yeah, yes.
Now it's our time to ask. We'll get into it. But we can talk about what to do when the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Mishomer.
Well, I thought the general assumption is that the Mechaber quotes the Yesh Mishomer without a cholik, he means the Paskin like that Yesh Mishomer.
Oh, okay.
Although Owen is saying that Ravadia says otherwise. So I'll have to check. It's not entirely clear. I think the more prevalent mahalach would be to focus on what the Darkei Moshe writes in his Hagos. So if there is no Hagon Shulchan Aruch, the fact that he wrote something in the Darkei Moshe in and of itself is in Machria, but it would fit into a broader equation if there are other factors to evaluate in Pesach. So that, for example, here, theoretically, you could throw that into the mix if there's a... Even if in principle we were to assume like the Mechaber here in the case of Hargasha Bloria, but where there are other factors to be made, well, you could probably throw into the mix that the Ramah expresses skepticism in Dark Emotion, even if it's not reflected in his Hagos on Shulchan Aruch. There is a middle ground position of the Chuvas HaRadvaz.
I guess one more clarification.
Yeah.
I thought we understood a lot of Rishon's definition of Hargasha that it was significantly before it was even coming out anyway.
Right.
So what's going on over here? You have Hargasha below Ria, meaning it's supposed to be below Ria until a few hours later or
question. How much time is there between the Psichas Pia Makor and when Dom comes out of her body? So I tried asking some medical professionals this question in the last week. Is there any research on this, any data? How much time in a typical healthy woman experiencing a normal cycle does it take between the first opening of the uterus and the Dom actually coming out of the body? So maybe not surprisingly, there doesn't seem to be much research on this because this is a question that would be of no concern to the broader medical community. The couple from physicians in this field, both rabbi doctors that I asked this question to, were not aware of any research and didn't have any hard data. The speculation was that it's not a lot of time; it could be between minutes and hours. But even if it's an hour, so then your question would seem to hold. Especially this is Chuvas HaDeshen, who understands Hargasha as Psichas Pi HaMekor. So if there's any lag, even in theory if it was a few minutes, we're talking about, there's a discussion in Poskim here, how long after does the bidik have to be effective? Is it a few minutes? The range of positions is between a few minutes and 24 hours. So that's a pretty big range. But if you did, if you did a bidik right away, Bashir Vass, that's definitely good according to everyone. But you're saying, so even if it takes 3 minutes from the sensation of Sikhas Pimakor until the Dhan comes out of the body, you did a bidika right as soon as you had this sensation. So then it could be maybe the Dhan is still making its way through the prostate at the body and you wouldn't see it yet. So if you see it a few minutes later, presumably you'd have to be, you have to connect that to the Hargasha. If you saw it an hour later, still. But if you didn't see it at all, so maybe you should be cautious, you're asking, that also was Niskanayach, or maybe there was Dhamma came out, and then okay, I hadn't thought about that question. I have to think about that. Good.
Should you address this in
Oina? No. It's a few minutes. Ace to Ace is 24 hours. So the range of positions is from a few minutes to 24 hours. We're not going to focus on that now. Okay. Then there is a middle position in the Tshuva Sarvar Vaz. Tshuva Sarvar Vaz, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Tes, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Tes. So he is very skeptical of this Chumra of the Tshuva Sadeshen. He says, if you're going to follow this Chumra of the Tshuva Sadeshen, then you're going to be Mevatel Mitzvahs Ono. He says, after all, the whole formulation of Hargasha is Ashit Targish Vitira. So if there's no Re'iyah, then Hargasha shouldn't concern us. But the Vaz's bottom line still is that you should still be choshesh. If a woman has a hargasha below re'iyah, she should still do bedika. If she does the bedika and finds nothing, then she's tahora. According to the Tshuva Sadeshen, if she does the bedika and finds nothing, she's still tameya because we're concerned maybe the dam evaporated, the dam disappeared. Rav Vaz says you have to do bedika. But if the bedika turns up nothing, then you're home free. You don't have to be concerned that the dam was somehow niskaneach or disappeared. And he writes that in his place, bismanenu mimkamenu, lo ra'isi v'lo shamati misha nohe chumrazu. So in his time and place, the Rav Vaz's time and place was similar to the Mechaber's time and place, because he was a generation older, and he also started off in Egypt and ended up in Eretz Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken. Rav Beis Yosef was a Talmud of some sort, Talmud Chaver, a Talmud of the Rav Vaz. So the Rav Vaz writes in Bismanenu Mukamenu, Lo Reisi Velo Shemati Misha Noi Chumrazu, that people were not following this Truma Sadeshen. No, he says you should do bedika, but if the bedika turns up nothing, then you're tahor. According to the Tshuva Sadeshen, even if the bedika turns up nothing, you're tameya. According to the Rav Vaz, it's appropriate to do bedika, but if the bedika turns up nothing, eino chosheshes klal. He says it's enough that the Benos Yisrael or Machmir Chumra Benos Yisrael from Zera Tibas Dan Kechardol, but this is less than Tibas Dan Kechardol. This is nothing. So that far. Therefore, you don't have to go. Maybe in the Tshuva Sadeshen's time they had such a chumrah, but in our time, no one's knowing this chumrah. Yeah.
So the Dorchei Moshe would hold you wouldn't even have to do bedika because you don't have to be choshesh for the Tshuva Sadeshen?
The Dorchei Moshe quotes the Tshuva Sadeshen and says tzarachiyah. So it's hard to say what he holds, but if you reject the Tshuva Sadeshen, that would mean you don't even have to do bedika.
Somebody didn't reject it.
It's hard to say what the Dorchei Moshe holds, because again, in the Hagos and Shulchan Aruch, he says nothing. He's silent. And in the Dorchei Moshe, he says, Tzarachin and the Tshuva Sadeshen. Now, if you take the Tzarachin to the logical conclusion, then we mean we're not concerned at all. You don't even have to do bedikah. The Ra says, at least you have to do bedikah. If the bedikah turns up nothing, she's tahara. And if you totally argue on the Jumma Sadesh and Mikol Vakol, then you wouldn't even need a bedikah. Okay, so again, according to the Jumma Sadesh, if a woman experiences a hargasha below ri'iyah, you need to do bedikah. If the bedikah turns up dam, definitely tmeya. If the bedikah turns up nothing, definitely tmeya. If the bedikah turns up a mara tor, so in theory, she should be tora. But as Aaron pointed out, lemaisa, he's reluctant to be mako because he doesn't want people to get confused. According to the Radvaz, you have to do bedikah, but if the bedikah turns up nothing, then she is tahora. And if you totally reject the Jumma Sadesh, then you wouldn't even have to do a bedikah. Okay? So,
Aaron?
Well, if it's b'shas aves, you'd have to do b'dika, but that's unrelated to this. You have to do b'dika anyway.
Right.
So, but shalom b'shas, if she has argasha at a time that she's not expecting to see done, so then there'd be no need to do b'dika. That would be the theory of rejecting the Jumma Sadesh. So if you look at the Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Vav, Simen Kuf Tzadi Sifkat and Vav, the Piskei Tshuva quotes a Machlokes Achronim about the following scenario. A woman has a hargasha below Riyah, she has a hargasha, and she doesn't see any dam. And then she does a bedika with an aid she'eino baduk. So she uses a cloth that wasn't checked, a cloth that may have been previously dirty, and may have had blood on it before. So she should have done a bedika with an aid baduk. She should have used a cloth that was clean, so that she know that whatever comes out on the cloth now just came from her internally this moment. But mistakenly, she used an aid she'eino baduk. She used a cloth that she didn't check, so it's conceivable that there may have been something on this cloth beforehand. And then when she does a bedika with this aid she'eino baduk, she finds both a mara tahor and a mara tame. She finds both something that some other color than red that potentially could have come from inside her now and is a mara tahor. And she also finds a speck of a potential mara tame. So we don't know. Did that mara tame come out now? Did that mara tame come out some other time? Was that old news? Do you have the right to assume that the dika that you did now only yielded the mara tahor? In which case, again, even though the Tumas Sadeshin himself, bottom line, is Mahmir, even if you find the Mara Tahor, but the way it's accepted by the later poskim is that if you find the Mara Tahor, then she would be Tahora. So do you have the right to assume that this Mara Tahor that you find is attributable to the Bidik at hand, and we can assume that the Mara Tame was old news from this aid She'eino Baduk. So the Piskei Tshuva here quotes to a Sefer, a Tshuva Sefer, Gibbath Shaul, who is Mako, that you're allowed to be Tola the Hargasha on the Mara HaTahor. So the Gibbath Shaul says you can be Tola the Hargasha on the Mara HaTahor. And then he quotes the Chavis Das. The Chavis Das is the very end of Simen Kuf Tzadi Sifkata and Lamed Zayin. Chavis Das is the end of Kuf Tzadi Sifkata Lamed Zayin. The Chavis Das paskins that she is Temeya. Okay, the machlokas haposkim in this case of an aid she'eino baduk that you use to do bedika after experiencing a hargasha below ri'iyah, and then you find both a maratar and a maratame, do you have the right to be tola that the hargasha was associated with the maratar? Yosef,
why would this be any different than finding nothing at all?
Why would this be any different than finding nothing at all? Meaning?
Well, the presumption is if you have argasha, something can
right.
be the makor.
Right.
So if you find nothing, it's still the same question, was it a maratar or was it dam?
If you find nothing, you can still ask the question, was it a maratar or not? Here you found something.
But even if you found nothing, I thought the presumption was, for sure something came out. It could have been a maritara or it could have been down, and we don't know, so there's chazaka that it's down. Why does it change anything if you can see both things? You already knew something came out.
Meaning, to the extent that even had you seen nothing, you would have been choshesh that there's a maritame. So the fact that you now see a maritame, you should at least have that same level of chashash.
Right, well, even more, you would have known one of those two came out for sure. You get no new information by seeing two of them off.
Because you're no worse off than having seen nothing. If you saw nothing, you still have to be choshesh, maybe there's a maritame. So here you see a maritara and a maritame, you should also be choshesh that there's a maritame. Good. So that's essentially the Chabad Das's argument. And as the Mereshes Moshe points out, if you're not familiar with the Mereshes Moshe, he has a number of Masechtos, a wonderful work of Moshe Steinhuis. So he points out, he thinks the Pashas should be like the Chabad Das. But how do you explain the other position? How do you explain the Gibeah of Shaul? Why is this better than a case where you see nothing? Because if you see nothing, as Yosef is saying, you have to be choshesh that maybe there was a maritame that got obscured. So here also I have a maritara and a maritame in front of me. I at least have to be choshesh as much that the maritame came out presently. Very good. So how do you explain the other position, or what's this machlokas based on? So the Mereshes Moshe has the following analysis, which I saw Rabbi Forst has in Appendix C of Volume 1 as well. The way the Mereshes Moshe presents it is... The Mereshes Moshe is in Simon Pei Beis. So the way he presents it is based... His starting point is Chidushi Rebbe Kiv Eger here in the beginning of Perek Haroa Kesset. Hey, Michael, you have a question? Okay, good.
Appendix 1?
Sorry?
What appendix?
Appendix C. So Rebbe Kiv Eger has the following suffix in our sugya, Chidushi Rebbe Kiv Eger Nun Zayin Amabez. Again, we're trying to explain what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas Achronim about this case where I have an Eid She'ena Baduk, where I do Bedika after a Hergasha below Re'iya, and they find both a Maritame and a Maritahar. Okay? We all here? Okay, some of the terminology may be confusing, so we're good. So the Rebbe Kiv Eger has the following suffix. What's the din... I'll read a few lines. Ani mistapik beguf hadin de bevur b'tshuv sadeshen. De im lo matza klum de temeya. De bevadai rasa veneva. So the tshuv sadeshen says you have to assume that if you do bedik and you find nothing, she's still temeya because you assume that there was dam and the dam got lost. De im matza mara lavan de tahora de talina and hargasha bezeh. And if you find the mara lavan, so again for the tshuv sadeshen make her a din. And the way the later Achronim accept the Tumas Hadesha Malacha, even Lemaisa, if you find the Mara Tahor, then you assume that there are Gushes associated with the Mara Tahor, and the woman is Tahora. Okay, so far so good. The Lonis Bayer says to Reb Kiv Eger the following case. Be'imlo Badka Rak Chatzi Eid. So let's say you have an aid, and she only checked half of the aid. She only checked half of the Bedikah Klok. Umasa Allah Maratahara. And she found a Maratahara. So for whatever reason, she only looked at half of the aid. And then the half of the aid that she looked at, she found a Maratahara. Imnachush Ulai Haya Almaksis Hasheni Maratameya. So are we concerned that maybe there is also a Maratame on the second part of the aid? Ubi'in and Dafka Bidika Derech Biror Shiloh Haya Rak Maratahara. And the purpose of the Bidika is to establish that the only Mara that came out was a Mara Tahor. So if you do Bidika, and you only examine half of the Bidika, even if you find a Mara Tahor on that half of the Bidika, maybe there's a Mara Tame on the second half. And the purpose of the Bidika is to ascertain that there is no Mara Tame at all. So if you can't ascertain that there's no Mara Tame at all, so then the Bidika is worthless. Oh, Kevin the Efshar the Lamisli Hargasha Bizah, Lomachaskin and Reyesa Bizah Lomar Sharasa Yosemisa. Or is the purpose of the Bidika just to find a Tliya, to find an avenue out to be Tola the Mara on something else? So if you do Bidika and you find the Mara Tahor. So now you have an avenue to be Tola, the Hargasha, on that Mara Tahor. So is the purpose of the Bedika to ascertain that there is no Mara Tame? See, if you only look at half of the Bedika, so that doesn't help. Or is the purpose to create a Tliya where you have the right to assume that the Hargasha was associated with the Mara Tahor? So once you have a Mara Tahor, then you have the right to associate Hargasha with that Mara Tahor. And even if there's also Mara Tame, that doesn't need to concern us. So that's the suffix of Rebbe Akiva Eiger. What is the purpose of the Bedika done under the circumstances of Hergisha below Rasa? Does the Bedika need to tell you definitively that there is no Mara Tame, or is it sufficient for the Bedika to uncover a Mara Tahor? What's the nafkamina in this case? So if you only checked half of the aid, and you didn't check the other half, and you found the Mara Tahor on the half that you checked, so you did establish that there was a Mara Tahor, but you did not establish definitively that there was no Mara Tame. The way the Chavetz Das, presents his position is he talks about, he equates two cases. One of them is an Eid She'eid Baduk, where you did the Bedika and you found the Mara Tahor together with the Mara Tame. And the other one is where you did a Bedika on an Eid, even an Eid Baduk, and then half of the Eid got lost. So you have a piece of material, and some of half of the material disappears. So he says that's the same, Chavetz Das says that's the same Shaila. And the Chavetz Das seems to be assuming that the purpose of the Bedika is to ascertain, like the first side of the Kiveger, that there was no Dam Tame that could be associated with Argasha. So even if there is a Mara Tahor, but if you're not able to definitively say that there's no Mara Tame on the other part of the Bedika, either where you didn't check the other half, or the other half got lost, then that doesn't help. Whereas, to give us Shaul and those who are Makel on the first Shaila would be assuming that as long as you have a Mara Tahor to be Tola on, that would be sufficient.
I thought the whole reason why when you find the Mara Tahor that she's not us with the Bible is because you have a suffix. She had her Hargasha, but we don't know what exactly what that Hargasha was. So now that you find the Mara Tahor, you say, okay, now you resolve that suffix, it's not really a suffix anymore, now we see that it's the Tahor.
Right.
And let's say we don't find anything, it's still a suffix. We don't know what's actually going on, but we have no reason to change the suffix status.
Right.
So in this case that we just described, that you find both, you're still in the suffix status, so why would you have a chashash to go ever say Tahora? Or let's say you have the diga cloth and you lose the second half, then you have a svek, but you have a part that's Tahora, and the other half you have suffix. And suffix, whether, and if anything, you're being pushed to say that now it's more Tahora on the white part instead of the part that you lost, because you have something that's pushing away from the suffix.
You're asking the Chavetz Das why the Chavetz Das wouldn't agree that you could be told on the Mara Tahor even if we also have a Mara Tame?
Yes, but also what you just said now. Because you were just talking about how let's say you have part of it gets lost.
Right.
You have a Mara Tahor and
right. So the Chavetz Das would say that there's a heightened level of concern once you have Hargasha that there is a Mara Tame. The more natural association is between Argush and Amaritame. So you need to ascertain that there's no Maritame in order to be told on the Maritame. It's not enough to have a Maritame you can be told on. You have to ascertain that there's no Maritame. There's a higher likelihood that the Argush would be associated with the Maritame, even if there are potentially other Maras that would come out of the Makor, but the primary Mara that would come in the Makor is the Maritame. Yosef.
It still seems like the case of Kibbeger is not comparable, because in Kibbeger's case you have new information, because you had a clean cloth,
right?
So you know for certain that that a Mara Tahor came out.
But there still might have been a Mara Tame.
This is true, but at least there's something new. I can understand that there's something new, you know. But
right.
In the case of the Givashel,
yeah,
it seems like you don't know anything more than nothing at all. Well, let me ask like this: like, because you had a cloth which may have already had one of the Maras on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. What information do you get from seeing that cloth you didn't have before?
You didn't look at it before, so you don't know what the source of the Mara Tame is.
But
it might have been there before, and may be there now.
Right, but well, you knew that something came out of the Makor because there was Hargasha, right?
You have to be concerned that something came out of the Makor because there was Hargasha.
I thought the general may be wrong. I thought the reasoning was that a Mara Tahor Whenever there's a gush, we assume Siman came out of the Makor.
Right.
The question was it a Martar, Martar, Martami?
Right. Oh, correct, but... That's correct. It might have been obscure. You may not be able to see it because it might have been obscured or it might have been
But we knew all along
correct.
That it was one of those two.
Something came out.
So
right.
not
necessarily something that you could see.
Right. But now we have a clock that has those two.
Right.
So all we still know is that it must have been one of those two. But we already knew that. We already knew something came out of the Makor. It was either Marata or Maratame. So now we have a clock with both those two on it, but we already knew one of those came out.
So according to the Givat Shaul, doing a bedika and then having the Maratara to attribute it to is a stronger Taliya than having nothing.
But this case doesn't even have that. I mean, the case of the Yerviki Beger does. But this case, where it was an Eid and a Badak, so you
right.
don't know...
So I have a Maratara that I know came out now, and I don't know when the Maratama was from.
I thought the case was, since it was Eid and a Badak, even the Maratara might have already been on it.
So in the Piskei Tshuva citation of the Givat Shaul, I didn't look at the original source, in the Piskei Tshuva citation it's not clear. I don't know if it makes a fundamental difference, but if it helps you, my impression was that you knew the Maratama was from now, and you weren't sure about the Maratame. I'm not sure fundamentally it makes a difference. I'm looking... Will that make you happy?
Yes.
Okay, so let's... let's be told on that understanding for the moment, and we can check out if that's accurate or not. I don't have time to look up everything as we speak now.
Sounds good.
All right.
Can I just get a clarification?
Mm-hmm.
What's the
Tzadim and Rikivagir? Do we assume that the purpose of the Bedika following a Hargasha below Ri'iya is to ascertain that there's no Maratami that came out? Or is the purpose of the Bedika to look for a Maratahor that you can be told on?
Okay.
Is the purpose of the bedika to look for a mara tahor that you could be tola on? To create the possibility of talia. Rabbi Forrest just has the following slight question. One of the cases of the Chavis Das was where you have a aid, half of which was lost. Right? So you ascertain that there's a Maratara on one half, and you don't know whether there's a Maratame on the second half that was lost. Rabbi Four says the simpler tzir should have been, and it would be the functional halachic equivalent, but much more likely a scenario, is how likely is it that you have a piece of material and you lose half of that piece of material? It's a bit of an odd case. See, he points out that the functional halachic equivalent, but the more likely scenario would be that you did a bedika, and then you lose the entire aid, and then you do another bedika, and you find a maratara on the second bedika. So do you have to be concerned that the first bedika might have produced a maratama? So that should be the same thing as losing half of the bedika cloth, but presumably a more likely scenario. Okay, be that as it may, it doesn't make a difference. Well, nice to just say ha'ara on the tzir, Michael.
In other cases, they say kasafek, which one we hold, like whether you have both on the same bedika cloth, whether you have both tahor or tmea, and then safek whether the first cloth had anything on it or didn't have anything on it. So therefore, it should be tahor according to alafi alaha. Safek alaha, whether you have both in the same cloth, whether it's tmea tahora. And something, whether even on the first cloth you had anything tmeya on it. So therefore, shouldn't you say sfeik sfeika and we say that...
What's the first suffix?
We're saying that there's a machlok is whether we ask him whether having both on the bedika cloth is tmeya tahora, no?
Right.
That's the first suffix. And the second
suffix... That's a suffix in din.
So for Sufik and Din like it can't be used for Sufik Sveika?
To have a Sufik and Din together, a Sufik and Metzias?
Provided it's to do that, that's
that's a discussion.
Okay. But basically, so in general, when you say Sveika, has to be in Din or has to be in Sveika or, I mean, in Metzias?
That's what to talk about. Okay. Now, there's a discussion in Achronim, this din of the Trumas Hadeshen. So to the extent that we assume, we seem to assume that the Trumas Hadeshen, at least in a case where you do Bedik and you don't find a Mar Tahor, that you have to be Choshech, that she's Tmeya. What kind of Hargash are we talking about? Is this true for any Hargasha? So if you look in the Chachmas Adam, in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Aleph, Chachmas Adam Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Aleph, so he thinks that you only have to be machmir for this din of the Trumas Hadeshen if it's Hargashas Pia Makor, which is the Trumas Hadeshen's own definition of Hargasha. Right, aval hirgisha shenizdazu evereha in bak of lo masaklum tahora. So if it's a hargasha psichas piyamakor, so then if you do bedika you find nothing, she's tmeya. If it's hargasha nizdazu gufa, so then if you do bedika and you find nothing, tahora. Because that hargasha, you can be tola on other causes. And that definitely wouldn't pose a problem for this day. Because even it sounds like the Chachmas Adam, there's a hierarchy of hargashas, that the highest level of hargasha, the most authentic hargasha, is hargashas pi makor, which is the Trumas Hadeshen's own formulation in the context in which the Trumas Hadeshen expressed this din. So there, you have to be choshesh even if you find nothing. He says, for Nizdaz the Gufa, if you find nothing, you don't have to be choshesh. If you look in the Tshuva Chasam Sofer, Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Vav quotes this Chasam Sofer as well. Chasam Sofer in Kuf Nun, quoted here in the Piskei Tshuva Sifkat and Vav. Chasam Sofer assumes that it's true by Nizdaz the Gufa as well. But both the Chachmas Adam and the Chasam Sofer agree that Argasha Ziva Stavar Lach, you could be Mekel on. And the Chasam Sofer writes, he thinks even the Trumas Hadeshen would agree to that. The Trumas Hadeshen only said it's din by his Argasha, but even the Trumas Hadeshen would agree that by Argasha Ziva Stavar Lach, you don't have to be concerned about Hargasha below Re'iyah. For the Chasam Sofer?
Yeah.
He thinks that those are close enough. They're both the more serious Hargashas. Maybe even the Trumas Hadeshen would agree that Nizdaz the Gufa is a kind of Hargasha. If you look in Rav Moshe's letters to Rabbi Eider in Simin Ches, Oses, Rav Moshe thinks that you should be machmir even for Hargashas Ziva Stavar Lach.
So he would say all three?
He would say all three. Again, as a practical matter, the first two types problems and purposes don't exist nowadays. So if you accept the Chachmas Adam and the Chasam Sofer, then this din may be more academic than practical. If you say, like Rav Moshe, that we're concerned about Ziva Stavar Lach, so that's something that may exist in a certain percentage of the population, where then it may be somewhat practical.
Is it a kosher game?
Why is what a kol shekhen?
That he wouldn't mitame her if her chachamot would mitame her if her hagasha was a zidus demalach. If you're going to mitame her because of as a gufa, you said.
Look, Zivus Davrilach is a later invention that even if that's considered Hargasha, it's a lower level Hargasha,
so,
Hargasha that's not Muska
V'Choladeus. So Zivus Davrilach is a later invention because it's found in the Torah?
Not found in the Torah, it's found in Noz B'Yudah. There's no reference to the Hargasha Zivus Davrilach in Rishonim.
So the Yatsa Mina Cheder.
What is that? It's not explicit, and generally assumed that we don't find in Rishonim any explicit reference to Hargasha Zivus Davrilach as Hargasha. There is a Tshuva of the Marasham, Chela Galo Simen Kuf Peches. Tshuva of the Marasham, Chela Galo Simen Kuf Peches. The Marasham discusses. He quotes some slightly earlier Achronim that discusses as well. Let's say a woman has a tendency to have hargashos that are associated with Mara Tahor. So a woman will experience hargasha, and there's a pattern where after she experiences this hargasha, she sees a Mara Tahor. So he quotes some slightly earlier Achronim, and he agrees that in that situation you could be Mako. That if a woman experienced this kind of association between a hargasha and a mara tahor and does a bedika three times after experiencing this hargasha to find a mara tahor, so going forward she could be tole such hargashas on the mara tahor, and she wouldn't have to do a bedika after the first three times. Second Michael. So that's what the Marsham and some others say, that if there's this association between Hargasha and Amara Tahor, and you're able to establish a pattern by doing a few bedikos, then you don't have to do bedikos subsequently. Ramosha is a little bit skeptical about this in Oath Tess of his Chuvus Rebbe Eider. He thinks that in order to do a proper bedika, you'd have to... There are so many variables that could impact on the association between the Hargasha and Amara, so then you'd have to do... three bedikos under different circumstances, the time of the day, diet, and it would be difficult to actually have a rigorous sample that would prove or create a chazaka that you have this association between hargashos and a mara tahor. Benji.
So the Marsham would say that after three times she did bedikos and each time it came out tahor, the next time she feels a hargasha.
If she doesn't see anything, she doesn't have to do bedikos.
She has a cheses tahor.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Even where she should be blushing.
You mean even if it's a shas vesta?
Yeah. Because Moshe was going to make in the category, you're saying if you create a chazaka, you can shas vesta.
So the Marsham does not explicitly talk about Bishas. One second. Presumably, if it's b'shas vesta, so you have to do bedika al shas vesta. But that's not his discussion. He's talking about shalom b'shas vesta, presumably. Yeah.
Did Rav Moshe actually think that you can attain such a chazaka after three? No,
that's his point, that there isn't really a way of doing it. And there's so many variables that could go into the association that you can't really check or account for all the variables.
But didn't you have some notion at the end that's something like, if all three times were unique, then it's possible?
If all three times were unique?
Where you said, like, as long as every time that you checked was under different conditions?
No, I think what he meant is that if you were to account for all conditions, but that's that's more theoretical, that it's not really practical to do that. I think that was his point.
So are we saying that the Tafliya is strong enough to override a suffix, the rest of the Humra? In this case, because we have a suffix to arrest because we don't find anything in the case after you develop this Chazak.
Well, you have this, in what case?
You're saying you check three times and now you see...
In the case where you see Maratar repeatedly?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So now you have a Tafliya saying that when you have Marakasha, it's based on the Maratar. But is that strong enough to really override
well,
the suffix? Well,
your starting point anyway is you have the Cheska Tara. So the Chiddush is the other direction. You really should have said you have the Cheskas Tara, you never have to be Choshesh. It's only because the Jumat Sedeshin says that our Gash is the Svara Deraisa, they have to be Choshesh, even if you don't see Dam where there's our Gasha. But you know, these are counterbalancing considerations. So if you if you could establish this Chazaka, Ayde Bidika said there's association between our Gasha and the Maratar, then you go back to the original Cheskas Tara. All right. No, the Marsham does say you could be Megal in that case. If it's in the... You're asking me about Shas Vesta.
Yeah, no,
I
got confused.
That's it. Yeah, no, B'Shiv Nakim says you could be Megal there too.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
okay.
Correct. Good? Okay. Then one more Marmakom, the Darkei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva is the... I guess we'll call it Mishnah Berurah style work on Yoredeya through Hilchas Nida that was compiled under the supervision of the Munkacher. The final volume on Nida was under, it says in the Sharblat, that was under the supervision of the Minchas Elazar, who was, most of the Darkei Tshuva was the father of the Minchas Elazar, the previous Munkacher Rebbe, and the final volume was done under the supervision of the Minchas Elazar, apparently, which I hadn't realized until I noticed on the Sharblat. Rav Shechter always says that the Darkei Tshuva was a compilation under one auspices, but different Talmidim of the Yeshiva brought it up, which is why there are stiras and not everything is consistent. So it's you have to figure out how to navigate through the brush in the Darkei Tshuva. There's a lot of material there. So he quotes in Sifkata and Kaf Aleph from the Tshuvas Teferes Tzvi. Very through the Chuvas of Reb Tzadok HaKohen Milublin. I guess it's less famous for his Chuvas, but he has Chuvas. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes from Reb Tzadok that in this kind of a situation of a Hargasha below Ri'iya, where you have to do a Bedika, it's sufficient if a woman is wearing tight-fitting clothing that would catch any dam. So then that's sufficient in place of a bedika. So if a woman is wearing a tight-fitting undergarment, so then you wouldn't have to do a bedika formally. Rav Vosner has this as well in the Shevet Halevi. Although Rav Moshe seems to be machmir. Rav Moshe in Os Yud, in the letters to Rabbi Eider, writes that the begadim mehudakim do not sufficiently substitute for bedika. So he doesn't quote, if I recall correctly, he doesn't quote the Teferet Tzvi, but he implicitly argues on it.
But weren't we concerned, really, for the two dimensions, that not just that it got lost, but that it, you said, maybe it evaporated or it disappeared in another way? So isn't that the tightness of the clothing here only solves the possibility that it fell out?
Right. So again, it would be the equivalent of a bedika. So to the extent that you'd be machmir if you did a bedika that turned up nothing, that you have to be machmir. So here also, it's no worse than that. If it turns up something, if it turns up a maratahor, that would be the equivalent of a bedika that turns up a maratahor. If it's a situation where if you were to be a situation where you could be makel, if it turns up nothing, let's say you accepted the Radvaz, so then that would be the equivalent. Okay, I think we'll stop here for today. And tomorrow we will begin with an introduction to Ksamim. So you can take a look at the third sheet of Marmakamas I sent out. I'll try to supplement that with a few more Marmakamas.